Have you ever felt totally at a loss as to what to do? If you have a child or teen with learning or attention challenges, you probably have, because understanding what's going on and what to do about it is not easy. This is the LD Expert Podcast. I'm Jill Stoll, founder of Stoll Learning Centers and author of a brand new book just out this week called Take the Stone Out of the Shoe, a must-have guide to understanding, supporting, and correcting dyslexia, learning, and attention challenges. Our conversation today is with Alexandra Dunnison, a cognitive consultant who really understands how lost you can feel when you're trying to get help for your kids. Alexandra has guided parents from all over the world through this process. Alexandra, you have been a guest on our LD Expert Live broadcast twice, and it's so nice to have you back today.
Thank you for having me. Nice to see you.
So, Alexandra, what do parents, when they come looking for you, why do they do that? And how do they find you?
It's a very backroom process usually because I don't do traditional work, but usually it's word of mouth, and it's after people have kind of. We'll use the version of the stone again. They've turned over what they think is every stone, and they still aren't really getting anywhere. And then somebody says, have you tried this? Have you tried this? And eventually someone will say, well, maybe you should talk to Alexandra. She might be able to help you find a different route.
And so they have been on the journey for a while by the time they
Correct.
find you.
Yeah.
And
Sometimes
so
it's 30 years or more, and I get adults coming to me. So I get, the youngest might be 18 months, but they can be 30, 40, 50, even 60 years old that I'll have someone has been on the journey for many, many years. Yeah.
Wow. And so, what are the common themes that you see when with parents or with adults who contact you?
That life is a lot harder than it needs to be. That everything seems to be take more time, and that they feel that they aren't able to access things that other people are able to access as easily.
Wow, that is so true. Life is just harder than it needs to be. They find ways, but it's just hard. Yeah. So, do you have a specific example of a family and that you could share with us? Maybe their situation and how you helped them?
Yeah, actually, I'm working with a family currently that's a great example because originally they came to me after having found another neuroplastic intervention, one method of helping them that sort of opened up their eyes to the fact that there are other options, that they can do more things to actually get better progress. And the daughter is 16, but she's more like a 12-year-old. And I first started working with her, so I look at everything that they've been doing and help guide them in that way. And some of the things have also now helped the mother, and now the son, who is actually in university studying neuroscience, but he's got some issues, even though he's very bright. And now it's like everyone seems to be benefiting, which is really cool when that happens. It actually is not just the person that came to me for, but it really affects the whole family.
It does, yeah. So you literally work with people around the world. When you look for professionals or therapies or programs to kind of add to your list of referrals, what are you looking for?
Yes, I know what therapies, what programs, techniques I'm looking for, but I'm also really looking for a good fit and somebody who's really really understands and is on the same page. So it's really important to me that I'm not just going saying I'm going to go find a vision therapist, but I'm literally going to read their website. I'm going to connect with them. I'm going to talk to other people who've been to see them and make sure that they are the right fit for that person, right, that I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's really important. because, you know, it's a process and you've got to be able to stick it out. So you want it to be a really good fit.
Right. Oh, actually, I should also add, of course, the finances, and that's another issue, right? So someone may say to me, they have unlimited resources. They're willing to fly to Iceland. They don't care. You know, they'll do whatever it takes. So obviously I would look for something else for that person than I would for someone who tells me their resources are limited and they can't travel. So then I would look for something closer to home that's more affordable.
Perfect. And so we have been connected for a few years. How did you come across Stowell Learning Centers and, and kind of what, you know, piqued your interest?
Yeah. So I was working in Seattle running a program, a cognitive program, and there was a center there that had your program that was actually, I guess it was licensed to them and they gave me your book. And it was the first book that you've written. So I read that book and it was just confirming everything that I had been looking into and researching further. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is all here. It's very clear. It's great to share with families. And so then I had reached out to you at one point and we sort of kept that relationship going. And now with online accessibility, you've been able to work with some of my families from as far away as Saudi Arabia. So it's been great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a really fun connection for us too. And one of the things that you and I instantly connected on was that if we really want to make real and permanent changes for kids or adults, we have to address the root of the problem. So when you think about that, what does getting to the root look like and what does it not look like?
It's a really good question. And also helping parents understand that too, because often they think that they found the root, right? So for me, I'm always looking at where is it that development didn't go as it was intended to go? And that's really where the root is. You have to go back. You know, we often use the analogy of a tree. You have branches, you have leaves, then you have branches, then you have, you know, a tree trunk, and then you have the roots. So if you're fertilizing the leaves, you might get some results, but not really if the problem is in the roots, right? So you really have to investigate. It's a big investigative process to determine with lots of assessments and questions and seeing where is it actually that the problem lies. And that is really the root.
And so working with therapists all around the world, do you find that is a common approach in the industry?
Not at all.
Unfortunately.
Not at all. Yeah. I always say neuroscience and education, never the twain shall meet, right? Yeah. So it's unfortunate that, you know, people who are in the industry, you know, education are generally very good people, care about, it's not for lack of caring. It's just that it's knowledge based, right? You know, educators are not taught about the brain and how to really look at what's going on as to where the root causes are. So they're looking at very traditional methods. And sometimes if someone has a very mild problem, those methods are adequate, but most of the time they are not.
Right. Right. And that is really one of the things that is so important to me. And with this new book, Take the Stone Out of the Shoe, that's part of it that I just want to get the message out there that these things can be changed, but we have to get to the root. And so really exploring what the root is and how that connects with the science. Since we are talking about Take the Stone Out of the Shoe today, I wanted to read a little excerpt and get your thoughts as it relates to your experience. So this is from Chapter 17, What Does It Take to Permanently Correct a Learning Challenge? In her adult life, Jessica became a doctorate-level reading professor at a prestigious university. As a 9-year-old, she was a non-reader. The root of the problem was weak auditory processing that kept her brain from discriminating the differences in sounds and learning and using phonics for reading and spelling. The traditional approach at school and in tutoring provided Jessica with phonics instruction and lots of reading practice. But it didn't work, not because of poor teaching, but because her brain couldn't access the information it needed to benefit from the instruction. If we want to permanently change or correct a learning challenge, we must identify and develop the underlying foundational learning or processing skills that are the real reason the student is struggling. The brain is a learning machine. So once the pathways are open and the brain is getting the information it needs, it will learn. So does that resonate with
Yeah, exactly. It's in line with what I'm working with. Yeah. So, so many people don't understand why it is that those methods aren't working, but it's like, if your auditory system is not able to discriminate the sounds, then they don't hear. It's like, I always say, it's like being on a telephone and they say F as in Frank, not S as in Sam. Right. Yeah. But it's like that distortion that is, if their world is that distortion, doesn't have how many times you say F and they're hearing S, because their auditory system isn't functioning properly. And that's where you have to work on the auditory system, not on keeping saying F, because they're still going to hear S.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's a great example. So you were one of the first readers of Take the Stone Out of the Shoe. Thank you for that. What did you gain from it? Were there any aha moments or deeper understanding that came through?
Well, for me, because we're so much on the same page, I was just more like, I agree with that. And I agree with that. So there were no aha. For me, it was no aha moments just because we're so much on the same page,
right.
But there's definitely, it was more just, you know, good information, because it's going out to parents. And as you say, parents and educators, and this is the population that we really want to be able to reach.
Right. Right. And I really did write it with parents and teachers in mind.
Right. And for them, there'll be lots, we hopefully that there'll be lots of aha moments, right?
Right, right. Yeah,
that's the whole point, wake up.
But we certainly do share it with other professionals. Are there any parts that you feel like would be encouraging, or that you would encourage professionals to read or be aware of?
I think that there is one chapter, I mean, I think, I wouldn't say just read this section in chapter one, because I think you're going to be missing a lot. You know, I think that eventually people should make their way through the whole thing, because you're doing it in terms of, you know, covering it all in different parts and you're sort of revisiting at times. But I'm just looking at my note that I had here. 5 reasons why your child's attention problem may not be ADHD. And that one's one we've talked about quite a lot, because ADHD is something that's diagnosed so much that pretty much everybody that comes to me tells me, oh, and my child has ADHD. Right. But it's like, they don't really need to say that to me, because I know that someone will have given that person that diagnosis. But the question is, why is everyone getting this diagnosis? If it's an attention problem, what is the cause of it? Giving it a label, it's not something you can give. It's not like an illness. It's not cancer. So it's not like we can take cells and look at them and say, oh, you have this cancer and we can do this therapy for it. It's not that. It's a symptoms checklist, right? So
right.
We're not looking at something that we can actually see under a microscope. So how do we know what ADHD is? It's, you know, it really is, we have to look at what is attention deficit disorder. So what is causing that inattention? And you talk about all the different things that could actually be causing a person to have difficulty paying attention. And that is a really big topic for me, trying to help my families understand, because they get very attached to those labels. And of course, oftentimes the first suggestion is to put a child or an adult on medication, right? Even though it, you know, you may get some results, is that actually getting to, we're back to root cause, right?
Right, right. And there are so many different things that, you know, if you're struggling to get the information visually or auditorily, well, now your attention has been impacted by that. So you're right. Medication is not going to solve all of those problems.
Right.
Because it isn't really addressing the root. So, and what about parents? Was there a particular chapter or part of the book that you felt would be important for them to read?
That's another one, again, where I would be careful to say, oh, just read this and then you'll be fine, because I really think that they really need to read all of it to get all the pieces. But there's another section on boredom, which is not a technical section. Like there's parts where you sort of talk about why does your child appear bored, or why do they look like they may not be paying attention? And then other parts where you really go into what are the actual programs and methods we're using to help this, which is later and very important. So I wouldn't want them to miss those kinds of things. But, you know, often people will say, well, you know, they would do it, but they're just bored. Mm-hmm. And I know that boredom really is because someone is struggling. When they use the term boredom, it almost, you know, 90% of the time, it's just because something is too hard for them.
Right.
So they will say, oh, it's just boring. And the parents will often buy into that because the child may be very bright and they may think, well, they're very interested in these other things. So these other things just are boring to them, and they will actually feed that narrative. And it will prevent them from actually helping the child to figure out what actually is going on and see if we can solve the problem. So now they can actually do all those things without having so much struggle and feeling that they need to label it boring or something else.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Well, Alexandra, thank you so much for joining me today to talk a little bit about Take the Stone Out of the Shoe. So I want to encourage all of you to go to Amazon and get a copy. And I would love it if you would leave a review and tell me what part you liked best. Enjoy.